Hello, this is Kendra Brodeen of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I'm honored to bring you a conversation with Kim Gatling. Kim concentrates her practice in patent and trademark prosecution, licensing, and litigation. Particularly, she prosecutes computer software, business method, and mechanical patent applications, as well as trademark applications before the United States Patent and Trademark Office. She also drafts and negotiates agreements for IT transactions, including software development and maintenance agreements, and she advises clients on computer law and internet issues. Kim further advises clients with regards to copyright registration and litigation. In addition, Kim is an active member of the firm's alcohol and tobacco regulatory teams. Kim graduated from George Washington University with her Juris Doctorate degree in 1999 and received her bachelor's degree cum laude from North Carolina A&T State University. She's admitted to the bar in North Carolina, as well as the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the United States Supreme Court. She is a staff member of the American Intellectual Property Law Association Quarterly Journal and was awarded an academic honor in Volume 26. And she has also been named a 2009 Business Leader Woman Extraordinaire Award. That's an award she received, as well as the Business North Carolina's Legal Elite Intellectual Property Award in 2009. She's also a member of the North Carolina Bar Association and the Board of Governors, as well as past chair, serving as past chair of the Intellectual Property Section. She's a member of the Greensboro Bar Association, where she was past director and secretary, past co-chair of Mentorship Committee, and the past co-chair of the Law Day Committee. She's a member of the Guilford County Association of Black Lawyers and the Guilford Inn of Court. She is an advocate and a servant in her community, serving on the Local Habitat for Humanity of Greater Greensboro Board of Directors, the Triad Stage Board of Directors, and as secretary, the United Way of Greater Greensboro as on the Board of Directors and the Chair of Women's Leadership, the Women's Resource Center on the Board of Directors, the International Civil Rights Center and Museum, and the Gateway Gardens Fundraising Committee, as well as many other community service opportunities that she's been a part of. So, Kim, with all of that, I am thrilled to bring you to the call today and have this conversation with you.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Kim, I'd love to just jump into the content of the call and the questions that we decided to talk about today, and I invite you during those questions to bring in any part of your personal journey and your experience that you would like to illustrate your answers to the questions. And the first of them is more of a historical look back. If you were to take a moment and reflect on your life and your journey as a lawyer, as a professional, as a woman, would you say that balancing the competing interests in your life, the professional and the personal, or the work and life priorities that you have, is that something that always came easily to you, or is it something that you maybe struggled with or at some pivotal point or moment in time that you can recall clearly, did you make a very conscious decision to do things differently?
I don't think there was any pivotal point where I decided that I needed to make a change or to implement better balance. I think the need, the increasing need to balance all of the different things in my life has come along with the increasing number of things that are actually on the plate. And I think the biggest of those would be having a child. My oldest son is 6, and I'm expecting my second child. And so I think when he came into the picture, that really forced me to have to put things in perspective and to really be much more organized and balanced with my time as it related to being a mom, being a wife, of course having my career, and then balancing my increasing civic and nonprofit obligations as well. So, again, I think over time, as you add more things to the plate, then you learn how to juggle them as they come. But I don't think it was a specific pivotal point other than the increased load of becoming a parent and knowing that I really needed to dedicate myself and my time to raising him.
So it sounds like it was something that over time sort of was an evolution as things on your plate increased and the number of obligations, as you mentioned, both socially and civically, and certainly adding your role as a mother, as those kinds of obligations and priorities increased, the need to balance or to juggle in a different way also increased.
Exactly.
Kim, what would you say over the course of that time, and maybe certainly since becoming a mother or even previous to that, what would you say has been your biggest challenge or struggle that you've faced in trying to create some balance or some harmony among the different things that you have going on, those different obligations that are on your plate? What's been the biggest struggle you've faced?
Well, being in private practice, you always have the billable hour workload hanging over your head. And that's always something that's in the back of your mind, whether it's during the day or at night or on weekends. So I just don't have the type of job where I leave at 5 o'clock and I necessarily put the work down and don't think about it anymore. But I am thankful, on the other hand, that I have the flexibility wherein if I need to leave work during the day to attend a school function, for example, although I know I still have work that needs to be done, I have the flexibility of getting that done later in the evenings or sometimes as well getting things done on the weekend. So it's not necessarily a bad thing that I don't leave my work at 5 o'clock, because the benefit of that is that I do get some flexibility in my schedule to be able to balance all of the different meetings that I have and my parental obligations as well. But as far as a challenge or a struggle, again, it's an evolution. I don't know that balance ever comes easy to anyone. I think you just learn how to manage based on what you have on your plate for that particular season of your life. And it may feel challenging at the time, but then, you know, a year goes by and you say, oh, gosh, how did I make it that, you know, first year when my son was a newborn? Or I'll look back just in a few days when my son gets out of school and say, how did I balance it this year with his first year of kindergarten and being active in class and still getting all of my work done at the farm and all of my civic obligations done? But you just manage in the meantime, although it may seem difficult, and you look back and say, oh, well, I did it.
It's so true. I think in the moment sometimes we're stressed and strained and overwhelmed, and then we get through it and we look back and think, oh, wow, look at what I did.
Exactly.
What would you say then, Kim, on sort of the flip side of that challenge, has been your greatest lesson, something that you've learned along the way that has helped you to be more balanced or be in better alignment between what you have going on personally and what you have going on professionally?
That's a good question. I think the biggest lesson I've learned over the past few years is to just be honest with myself and be honest with my firm about my expectations with regards to my career and my workload and my obligations outside of work. And, again, I work for a great firm, and so there's been some flexibility there in just setting an expectation that's going to work for me and for my family. And I think you have to have that meaning to yourself of being honest with yourself and what you know that you're going to be able to output. And so I'm glad that I've been able to do that. And another lesson, of course, is at the end of the day, just taking care of myself. And sometimes that gets lost in the mix of balancing everything else. But, you know, if I'm not well and rested and able to function and get work done and able to be a good mom and wife, then everything just falls apart.
Kim, I think you're so right. I think setting realistic expectations of ourselves and of others around us is so key to actually accomplishing those goals and those expectations, and doing it without unnecessary stress and strain and overwhelm when we've set expectations that are too high and then find ourselves struggling to meet them.
I completely agree. And the most important thing is, as being women that are very professionally minded and have set really high career goals and professional goals for ourselves, it's okay at different seasons in our lives to maybe set more reasonable expectations just for limited time periods, because there'll be other seasons in our life when we're able maybe to devote more time and energy to one particular area than another. So I think it's important to realize that just because you're making a decision for one particular season doesn't mean it's going to be like that for the rest of your career.
It's so true, because like you said, I mean, right now you have a kindergartner, and congratulations on expecting your second. That's very exciting.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And I think, like you said, there's just those times in our lives, like right now, and my children are 6 also. Today is our last day of kindergarten, and so very much in the same boat, and I have a 4-year-old as well. There's times that I will just have to wait for things that maybe I want to volunteer, and I respect all of your community involvement, and it's something very near and dear to my heart too, and yet I find myself wanting to do so much, even more in the community or do more service in the organizations that I belong to or that I want to be a part of, and yet I just need to sometimes take a deep breath and say, I've got very young kids at home, I'm running my business, I've got private practice, all of these things going on. Maybe this is just not the time in this season of my life to extend myself even further. And that time will come, maybe in 5 or 10 years, maybe in 20 years, but to be patient with ourselves and realize that it's a journey, and it's a long journey, and we can find other places in our lives to fit in those things that aren't necessarily the best fit right now.
Exactly.
Kim, are there other things that you'd like to share in terms of maybe strategies or tips or tools, things that you've used in your professional career, just in terms of helping you be a better attorney, or a better professional, or maybe other strategies that you've used that have helped you at home to be a better mom or to juggle things better in your personal life? But are there those kind of tips or tools that you could share with others that might be a little more strategic or tactical and easy to implement?
Well, with regards to work, I think what has worked for me is that I have really had some great, what I call, cheerleaders within the firm. When I came in as a young associate, I had some great partners that invested in me and really wanted to see me thrive in my career. And even as a partner today, those same people are still my cheerleaders, and I still go to them as mentors. So I think it's just really good, especially with being in private practice, to establish early on some good mentorship, whether that be formal or informal mentorship, relationships with people that you know that you can lean on that are going to really help you in terms of career guidance. And so even through all my different phases over the past 10 years, I've always still gone back to them for guidance as it relates to my career. So I think that's the biggest tip that I would have from a work perspective. And then just being organized. It's always difficult sometimes when a flood of work comes in to really stay organized on top of due dates and priorities, but it just helps to manage the stress level when you have so much on your plate. And that organization also relates to home, and just, you know, making sure that everything is planned out for the calendar with the family and the kids, and being organized there. And those are just things you can do, again, to keep the stress level as much of a minimum as possible so that life and work are not all feeling chaotic at the same time.
I think that organization is so key, and it's sometimes very challenging and a work in progress, but when we can be as organized as possible and know what's going on, be it scheduling-wise or having our ducks in a row, say, with the kids or school activities, but it really does cut down on the chaos and the emergency feeling that can come when we're not really prepared or organized.
Exactly.
Are there, Kim, when we talk about organization, are there any things in your life or the way that you've found to organize yourself that you think might be suggestions or tips that other women could use?
Well, what I found is that organization to different people means different things. I mean, I think each attorney in particular comes up with their own little system, whether it be written in hard copy or electronic or a calendar or otherwise, of keeping up with when projects come in and what needs to be done and what the due dates are. But the bottom line is to find a system that works for you in terms of being able to manage those things. I even like have my own organization system on my desk of the way I order my files and knowing what needs to be done first. So I don't know that there's a one-size-fits-all, but it's the point of just finding something that works. And at home, just my own personal experience, because my husband travels a lot and we both have pretty demanding jobs, one of the ways that we really stay organized with our calendar is that we're constantly sending each other meeting requests for different events that we have, so we know if someone's going to be out of town or if someone's going to be out late because of a meeting, and it just helps with child care in advance so we don't have big emergencies that come up. And that's really helped us so that our calendars are always in sync, particularly with out-of-town trips and meetings that would affect, you know, the evenings and early mornings in terms of child drop-off and pick-up. So that's just one little tip that we do.
I think that's a great tip, and especially when we have kids or a spouse or even just that spouse or partner that we're trying to live with and coordinate schedules, to have that somehow a structure or a system for communicating with them, and be it technologically. I know some people, like you mentioned, it's kind of a matter of syncing things up electronically, or my husband and I are actually a bit of more old school in terms of we have our paper planners. We try to sit down every Sunday night and just look over the coming week so there's no surprises, and we found that when we don't do that, it not only leads to chaos because all of a sudden, you know, he has a meeting or I have an obligation and what are we going to do with the kids, but it also is better for our relationship because it minimizes those stresses and strains and frustrations with one another. Well, why didn't you tell me this? And now we need childcare and all that. It's just healthier all around for the family when everyone's on the same page.
Exactly.
Kim, is there anything else as we're sort of wrapping up, things you'd like to talk about? In fact, I'd love to just ask you more. You mentioned about mentorship and having those cheerleaders or those mentors in the firm, or even maybe in other places in your life. Could you speak a little bit more to that?
Oh, sure. In particular, the two mentors that I have, actually our firm had at the time when I came in as a young associate a formal mentorship program, and ironically my formal mentor is not necessarily one of the two people I'm referring to, and that's just a result of, I think it's good to have formal mentors and also good to have what I call informal or organic mentors within the firm, and that's just over time people with whom you develop relationships and become very comfortable with going to them and talking to them about not just work but sometimes personal issues too, because we all know that sometimes our personal life can affect what's going on at work and vice versa. So early on, I developed those relationships, and a lot of it came out of doing work with those partners in the firm. They were in my practice area and supplied me with work on a regular basis. And again, we just felt comfortable with one another, and I felt like they were people I could go to at the end of the year when I would be kind of working on my practice plan for the next year. I knew that they were going to give me really good guidance on what skills I still needed to develop and, you know, what skills I was already performing very well. And so you want to have that person that's going to be honest with you and saying, well, I think, Kim, this would be really great if you grow a little bit more in this practice area. So I'm just really thankful to have had that, and would hope that every associate that comes into a law firm can develop those types of relationships with at least one person over time within the firm, because you do need that mentorship and guidance. You know, we come into the firm as an associate. We know some of the hardcore numbers of maybe what it might take to get to be partner, but really just the practical month-to-month, how to build a practice, how to manage a practice, how to be successful with work and in dealing with clients. And you just want to have your go-to people for those types of questions.
That's such excellent advice, and seeking out those people. And maybe they're people that you resonate with, just you sort of know being around them that they're people that have skills or wisdom that you would like to acquire or like to tap into. And in our case, as women attorneys, it might be a fellow woman attorney. It might be a male attorney. It might be one of each. You know, everyone has different skills and different things to bring. But the point being that we make the ask, that we talk to that person and say, you know, I would love to learn from you, or I'd love to talk with you, or I have this specific question and I feel like you might have the answer. Would you mind if we did coffee or lunch, or can I have 10 minutes of your time? Whatever it takes. But to not be intimidated, but rather look to them as a resource. And most likely, they'll be very willing to help out because they want to see you succeed as well.
Right, exactly.
Kim, is there anything else that you'd like to share as we wrap up our time together? If you were encountering another woman attorney, you know, at a bar association event or something like that, or just speaking to a group of women attorneys, which you are actually by doing this interview, what would be the words of wisdom that you would like to share sort of as a virtual mentor to other women? What would be just those maybe closing words or closing thoughts that you'd like to give to those women attorneys?
I would just reiterate some of the things that I've said, which is, you know, take it day by day, season by season, set realistic expectations for yourself, both with regards to your profession, with your civic obligations outside of your profession, as well as family, and understand that that's going to be flexible over time. It's going to change. You'll have more emphasis on some areas than others as you go through life and go through your career, and that's okay. And to just take care of yourself.
Yeah, self-care is so important, just taking care of ourselves and doing what we need to do to keep ourselves healthy and sane and calm as much as possible. But that self-care is so key. Is that something that, how do you cut out time for yourself and take care of yourself, Kim?
Well, I try to stay active physically. You know, there are times when I'm great on a good gym schedule, and there are times that are not, that I'm not. But rest is really important to me, and just trying to get enough rest and maybe catch up on the weekends if I haven't gotten enough during the week. And again, it's one of those things, you might have 2 weeks where you're super busy and can't make it to the gym and are only getting, you know, 5-6 hours of sleep at night, which are not enough for me personally. Mm-hmm. I need 8. But you know that there'll come a time when, you know, maybe the workflow is not as heavy for a week's period of time, and I can leave the office a little bit earlier and take more time to relax or catch up on errands. So, again, it's just kind of managing on a week-by-week basis and knowing that the work ebbs and flows, so do other obligations. And over time, hopefully, it balances out. And I think the key is to look and see if it's been a significant period of time and things haven't balanced out, you know, if it's you've been going too hard for too long and haven't been taking time for yourself, then you have to kind of put up the stop sign and say, okay, wait a minute, I need some intervention here. But otherwise, hopefully, it balances out over time.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's sort of that there's peaks and valleys of activity and exertion, just given the nature of the profession. But when we can, like you said, it evens out over time and take some time maybe after a long, intense stretch to really be mindful about taking a little time for ourselves to recuperate or catch up on whatever it is we've been letting go. Maybe it's physical activity, maybe it's other things, but being mindful of trying to keep that balance between stressing ourselves and our bodies and our minds and then resting and rejuvenating and re-energizing.
Right.
Kim, it's been so nice talking with you today, and I appreciate everything you've shared. I'm wondering if you would mind also sharing maybe your firm website or any other way that folks could connect with you in the future, any projects you're working on that you'd like to share as well.
Sure. Well, people can contact me. They can get all of my information on our firm website, which is www.smithmorelaw.com. And they can go and find my bio there and see my areas of expertise as well as all of my contact information. As you mentioned, my practice focuses generally on intellectual property consisting of patents, trademarks, and copyrights, as well as software licensing, any intellectual property licensing, computer law, and other IT issues. So I am happy and available to talk with people if they have any questions or want to contact me.
Great. That's perfect, Kim. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, with that, we'll wrap up our conversation with Kim today. I trust and I hope that you found something within the conversation that's meaningful that you can learn from Kim's story and Kim's journey and the tips and tools that she shared over the course of our conversation today. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodeen with WomenLawyersOnline.com, wishing you real success always and in all ways in every part of your life and your legal practice. Thank you for being here today. Bye-bye.